Obviously, there's plenty of text coming through on Cripps as well. To be honest, I think this is the biggest sliding doors moment of the year so far. When it comes to the Patrick Cripps collision, there is a divide at the moment, and I get it. The MRO give him 2 weeks. The tribunal tonight could say that stands. It could say that he doesn't deserve a suspension. But I think this is one incident where I think both can be true. It can be true that he deserves 2 weeks, but he gets off. And let's start with the MRO. I mean, the box-ticking mechanism doesn't really allow Michael Christian much room for a gut-feel opinion on this. He has to do the box-ticking thing, and it almost forces him to say 2 weeks. But the tribunal could, if you get your argument right tonight, give Cripps the benefit of the doubt, because the split-second, last-second, millisecond defence is a valid one. If you accentuate the doubt well enough tonight, I think he can get off. Football is a collision sport where last millisecond changes of mind are made thousands of times a game by all the players on the field. Can a good intention, acceptable technique, unfortunate outcome be argued well enough tonight that Cripps gets the benefit of the doubt tonight? Or is all benefit of doubt lost when concussion happens, and a concussion happened in this one? So I think there is a bit on this one tonight. I'm looking at it, I'm saying 2 weeks, and I'm accepting 2 weeks, but I'm also accepting if he gets off, because I get the millisecond defence. There is a bit on this tonight. I mentioned sliding doors moment. Cripps gets off, and Carlton win this week or next week, and they play finals, and then their season's a success, whether they win the flag or not. Finals from 13th last year is a successful year. And you win one game. You win one final. You win one game leading up to the finals, as Collingwood has shown and Carlton showed earlier this year and the Bulldogs showed in 2016. Anything's possible. If you win one game, get confident, and then get lucky with your confidence and your game style in September. Carlton's one win and an injury-free run away from being a contender again heading into September. But then Cripps doesn't get off tonight. Carlton don't make the finals. Then you've got to say the season ends up as a fail. You can't polish it up as a successful jump from 13th last year to 9th this year, because in reality, you've been in the 8 all year. You've gone from mid-season top two premiership contender to, you know, and also ran with the promise, oh, the 2023 will be better, but no guarantee. All you do is from 9th head into 2023 and the whole summer with the same promises Port will, and the Gold Coast will, and Essendon will, and the Bulldogs will if they don't make the 8, and St Kilda will if they don't make the 8. Oh, we'll make the 8 next year in 2023. So a big sliding doors moment tonight. Your thoughts on it? We'll come to all of your calls, 1300 736 736. Peter in Essendon, I think you've, for some reason, jumped to the top of the queue ahead of Maxim Williams landing. Welcome to you, Pete. You're top of the list, so I better go to you first. Welcome.
Hey. G'day, Dwayne. Good to have you on the show, mate. Look, with Patrick Cripps, I think Nathan Buckley this morning made one of his points was it was a frustration tackle. Do you know what I mean by that, Dwayne?
I do.
In fact, before you
go on, Peter, I'll just play it, and that might help you explain your point a little further. So here's Nathan Buckley on Cripps' situation and split-second decisions on Gerard Whateley's program earlier.
Think about these guys that have been leaders and have been physical presence for their teams and for the people around them, and they've generally imposed themselves when there's a 50-50 ground ball and they just go harder and lower than their opposition, and they impose themselves on that contest. And Jack Viney's another one. And therefore, it emanates into an expectation of how you're going to approach your next contest. So I think I have to believe that there's a bit of that in Paddy Cripps. And I think there is. Whether it was the right time, right place, don't know. Probably not. And it wasn't lower and harder. And these days, the lower and harder is nearly taken out, because if you go lower and harder than someone and they happen to have their head over the ball, and you beat them, or you're too hard, you're going to get penalised as well. So there's so many more things having to go through a player's head when they contest a football in today's game than ever before.
Peter, he said it yesterday as well as that on Breakfast with Gary Lyon, the fact that he thought that Cripps was trying to make an impact as a tougher player to turn the momentum of the game, Peter?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it went all wrong because what I didn't like, Dwayne, is he jumped, the feet came off the ground, and to me it seemed like more of a charge. And
yeah, Peter,
the other point, Dwayne, is...
Go on, yep.
Yeah, so the other point is, Dwayne, regardless whether he gets off or not, they aren't going to beat Melbourne and they're not going to beat Collingwood, so it won't make a difference. But the other point is, on top of that point, you've got to protect his head. I think the AFL is going to keep getting sued if not protecting the head. And, yeah, we know it's a big issue. You just can't have players doing that, Dwayne, being reckless.
Peter, I appreciate your call and your summation. Thanks for joining us. You don't think Carlton are going to beat Melbourne or Collingwood, even with Patrick Crisp, but we didn't think North Melbourne were going to beat Richmond either. How did the West Coast Eagles beat Collingwood? It happens, Peter. Upsets happen. Max in Williams Landing. You there, Max?
Yes, so I agree with everything you say in terms of the opinion you had about Cripps. The fact of the matter is Cripps concussed the player. The player was concussed. AFL has already said that they're worried about their head and protecting their head and all that. That's the most important thing. I mean, concussions, head injuries, brain injuries, whatever happens, it's because of the toughness. I think it's the injury that's going to cost him 2 weeks. And the second thing is, I want to ask you a question. When was the last time a side, 8-2, missed the finals? And besides that fact, a lot of Carlton supporters are still accepting mediocrity. And it's just a joke. I've been a Carlton member for quite some time, and it just bleeds. I'm like, I don't know what to say. People are accepting saying, oh, it's been successful. It's not been success if you haven't made that finals, if you haven't made that step. You were 8-2, and now you're missing the finals. Come on. This case.
Just on that, Max, here's Harry Mackay making that case that it's a successful year for Carlton, even if they don't play finals. Here's Harry Mackay on the couch.
Whatever happens for the rest of the year, I guess that's outcome-based. But for me as a player that's been there 7-8 years, this 12 months has been a success. And whether that comes to finals or whatever it is, I think we've taken a really big step into the right direction. And, yeah, Vossi talked the other day. Hopefully it's a long book and this is just chapter one. We want to finish off the chapter really well, but it's definitely still a success, I reckon.
Harry Mackay, 12 months has been a success, whether they make the finals or not, just to... ram home your point, Max. And if you've got a thought on that, Blues fans, by all means, send through a text 0433 98 11 16 or dial the number 1300 736 736. And just on your other point, Max, about the concussion side of things, that's what I said in the intro. Is the benefit of doubt lost when concussion happens? Willie Rioli got the benefit of the doubt. And he was jumping into a marking contest, and you can jump more recklessly into a marking contest than you can into a ground ball if you're contesting the mark, if you're going for the mark. We know that. And Raoul wasn't concussed. So maybe some benefit of the doubt went to Rioli in that one because Raoul wasn't concussed. But Archie was concussed. So does Patrick Cripps lose any benefit of the doubt because of that? Well, I'm not sure because I don't think that's written down anywhere. Is that just the way we feel in general? And you can't ask the tribunal just to go on what they feel, can you? Or are we? Thanks for your call, Max. Glenn in Brisbane. You there, Glenn?
How are you?
Fire away, Glenn. Great to have you on.
Thank you, buddy. Ex-Melbourne boy now living in Brisbane. Two things. Number one, with the tackle... Sorry. With the Crips, couldn't he have tackled? No one said he should have just waist-tackled him.
Well, he could have... He could have gone lower. He didn't have to jump in the air. Archie
Correct.
Didn't really have the ball
Correct.
At that time. So he could have gone a lot lower. The jump in the air, we no doubt will hear tonight, was an attempt to jump in the air and win the ball. But we all know, Glenn, that he had the option of not jumping in the air.
Dwayne, my second point is a Collingwood supporter. With Grundy's injury, with the talk of possibly trading him, How is that going to look now for Collingwood, knowing that he's not going to be ready until the pre-season in January, knowing that we've got Kruger, Darcy, Cameron and Coxey? How does that fit in the mix with the trade? Can you trade an injured player?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, Glenn, it's been done before. But I get what you mean. Do you think it diminishes his value a little if he's injured?
Yep.
Yeah, stress fracture in the foot as well. I mean, it's a little bit different to, say, a broken finger, which you know 100% is not going to affect him long. Well, it might affect him long term, but it's not like an injury that could have long term repercussions, and it's had another repercussion this year in his attempt to return and have it. So, yeah, look, Glenn, you make a couple of good points there. I don't think Grundy will go. I mean, there's a lot of talk he'll get traded to Port Adelaide, or that I won't believe that until 2 weeks after he started training with Port Adelaide, and then I still probably won't believe it. I can't see him leaving Collingwood myself, and I can't see them letting him go. But it's going to be a pretty big month after the season. Hey, appreciate your call up there in Brisbane, and great to have you part of the program, by the way, to everyone listening around the country, different parts of the world, including those that aren't necessarily football states, but have a lot of football people in them. Dave in Melton, you there, Dave?
Hey, Dwayne. Dwayne, at the start of this year, Braden Maynard did the same thing that Cripps did, but he actually made contact with the football. The other bloke's fallen down and knocked himself out, and Braden copped 2 weeks. And that wasn't considered as a football accident. So how does Cripps get off? He made no contact with the football.
Dave, I don't think he gets off either. But I can see a case tonight where the Carlton Brains Trust make a good enough case to accentuate the element of doubt and put enough doubt in the tribunal's mind that he gets the benefit of that doubt. Braden Maynard didn't get the benefit of that doubt, obviously. And a lot of players haven't got the benefit of that doubt. And that's why a lot of people think that he will probably end up with this suspension standing. Here's Patrick Dangerfield, head of the AFL Players Association, on Waitley's program earlier on, talking about whether he thinks that the incident might lead to a benefit of the doubt decision in the favour of Cripps or not.
It's been pretty clear from what we've seen from past incidents around what the ramifications will be, and it's generally been a suspension. But it doesn't take away from, you know, just how difficult the game is to play in a split second, in a split moment, when, you know, at the time, Carlton's getting hammered and you need a moment to get your team back in the game as captain, and that's the moment. You don't condone the head high contact, but you understand it is part of the game at different stages. But it promises to be a really interesting one, I think. Does he escape suspension? I think it's difficult given what we've seen and the previous examples, but it isn't without precedence given what we saw with Willy Rioli. But correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Matthew Rowe at the time was concussed. So perhaps that's the big change there.
So that's interesting on two sides of it, Patrick Dangerfield. The second side of it is the thought that he even weighed into it, because the head of the Players Association probably does have a situation where he might say, well, there's a tribunal sitting tonight. I'd rather see how the tribunal handled it. It's not my place to comment on whether he will or won't get suspended. I'm glad he weighed in, to be honest, and I respect that opinion. I think it's an opinion that's widely held. It is interesting to hear it from the head of the Players Association the morning of a tribunal hearing, though. Ben in Mackay, in Rye, you want to talk Harry Mackay? Welcome to you, Ben.
How are you, Dwayne?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, mate, look, I was watching on the couch last night, and I just think Carlton supporters and Carlton Football Club need to look at it more like McRae's been looking at it from Collingwood. Sure, he might look get rubbed out for 2 weeks, but you got an opportunity to make the finals. That's the way you should look at it. Forget about what's going on with Cripps. You got to beat Collingwood or you got to beat Melbourne. You play the finals. It's a successful year, as you were saying before. I think these Carlton supporters, it's Tuesday, they're so worried about Cripps. They're forgetting the fact that they've got to win one out of two games to make the finals. That's the most important thing. They might get Cripps back and still lose. So, I don't know. I just think they need to put glass half full rather than glass half empty all the time. I know that they've probably been burnt in the past. That's probably why they're like that. But I just think, you know, you've got to change your mindset.
Ben, I got a sneaky suspicion they will win one of their last two games, even if Cripps isn't available either. So I'm actually with you on that. My gut feel is that Carlton will make the final somehow. Maybe the other teams will lose enough games that Carlton stay in, but I got a sneaky suspicion they'll be there as well.
I don't think so. I'm probably on the side of him reasonably contesting the footy. But yeah, it's going to be a very interesting one. Again, it's just one of those grey areas, isn't it? I think everyone's got their opinion and their view on it. I think that you could probably make an argument on the opposing side of where I sit, but I think that's, from mine, I feel like he was competing against Archie and trying to win the footy legitimately, and you know, obviously he's come off second best, but if it's not read that way, I guess that'll be another statement made, won't it?
That was Nathan Jones on this program yesterday, making the case that there is enough doubt that Patrick Cripps might be a chance to get off. A couple of texts that have come through as we head back to your calls and your texts for Midday Matters. If Cripps wanted to make a statement, he should have watched Maynard's two tackles on Friday, both bone-crunching, inspiring, and nowhere near the head. Thanks, Joe, on the Gold Coast. Quite a few coming through, obviously. Finally, normality returns. This is the Carlton we know and love. It's taken until round 20 for supporters to ring and bash their team. That's from Travis. So there's a few turning on Carlton, turning on their team. Hi, Dwayne. RE Cripps, why was it unreasonable for Cripps to jump to contest the ball, but okay for Archie to do so? Check the footage. Archie jumped to gain possession. Marking contest is a little bit different. You do have more of a responsibility when you're going for a ground ball, a ball in normal play, to assess what's around you before you go, than in a marking contest where you can just go if you're going for the ball and someone else gets concussed in that marking contest and it's by accident, then it's not your fault. You're going for the ball and trying to take the mark. Another from Joe here. Dangerfield shouldn't have commented on Cripps. He should be impartial and seriously, he should resign. Joseph from Essendon. It was interesting to hear how elaborate an answer Patrick Dangerfield gave to the Cripps question, to be honest, but I'm glad he did. He gave an honest answer and it was a pretty good one. Maynard's was a roundhouse spoil. If that was Pendlebury and Cripps' situation, Pendlebury would have corralled Archie. Cripps chose those actions, so quite a few of those have come through as well. No one's raised the possibility that the concussion in the Cripps case may have occurred post the initial contact. If you look closely, contact to Archie's head could have been as a result of Cripps falling to the ground over the player. And you're right, there's another piece of doubt that they can put in the tribunal's mind tonight. They can accentuate that bit of doubt. Was Archie concussed when they hit the ground? Dave and Epping, you want to talk some Carlton? Welcome to you, Dave.
G'day, Dwayne. How's it going?
Good.
I absolutely love what's going on for Carlton Football Club at the moment, mate. I had to remind them in April that premierships aren't won in April, and now the wheels have finally come off. The real Carlton is showing their face. Cripps will be out for the Collingwood game in round 23, where we will knock them out completely. And, mate, it's just a great, great sight, mate. Couldn't be happier.
Thanks for your call. I reckon the footy gods might end up playing a role and getting them in somehow because they almost deserve to be in, but we'll have to wait and see what happens this week. But tonight's a big sliding doors moment. Absolutely. Dave in Richmond, you got a thought on September. Welcome to you, Dave. Great to have you on the line.
I do, Dwayne. Let's not talk about Carlton. They're done. Cripps, no Cripps, doesn't matter. They're going to lose their last two games. I have Sydney Swans in the grand final, and they're going to play either Geelong, Brisbane, or maybe even Richmond. Because I think this next 2 weeks, Sydney will win both games, Fremantle will win both games, Brisbane will win both games, and so will Richmond, which means Melbourne will slip to sixth. And they'll play Richmond, most likely, in an elimination final on the Sunday afternoon of the first week. And I think they'll get done. I don't know if Richmond will get past Brisbane, because they'll... Yeah.
No, I'm listening to you, Dave. We're going to be some great matchups in the finals. There's some good matchups in the last two rounds, but with the finals coming up, it's going to be a classic final series, I think. It's been a classic season so far. Hey, Dave, got some Sydney news while you're talking about the Swans. So Sydney Swans superstar, their veteran Josh Kennedy, has announced he is retiring at the end of this season. The announcement comes after that re-injuring of the hamstring in the VFL on Sunday. So he's retiring as a premiership player, a three-time All-Australian, three-time best and fairest winner, and Sydney captain. So there's some pretty big news out of Sydney. Josh Kennedy. So two Josh Kennedys retiring and having their last weekend on the last week at the footy on the same day, which is kind of weird. Thanks for your call, by the way, Dave. Bill in Gladstone Park, you got a thought on Cripps. Talking to you, Bill.
Yeah, Dwayne, just in relation to the Cripps incident. First of all, I don't think the game's ever been any cleaner than it is now. The days of your Byron Pickett's and the like that deliberately bumped a player to take him out, they're gone. So now we're just adjudicating on these split-second decisions like Rioli and Cripps. And a lot of the narrative seems to be around the injury. And the problem I have is when we look at it as simply as that, you're going to end up with a farcical situation. And I hope this doesn't happen in a preliminary final. But let's say Carlton was in a preliminary final and the exact same incident happens, but instead of taking out Archie, he takes out Kerner from his own team. Still reckless or careless, still high, and still knocks him out. Carlton goes in the next week without Cripps and Kerner. People would think that was ridiculous, but this is how we now judge football. Thoughts on that?
Well, he's not going to get suspended for a head-high bump to his own man. He can't.
Dwayne, when we're talking about the action being careless,
it
wouldn't matter who you're doing it to. Sometimes you're backing back like Rioli, and you don't know whether that's Rao coming at you or someone else. So if we're now saying it's okay if you do it recklessly to your player, I just think we're making a mockery of the rule. So I'm saying we shouldn't be splitting hairs. Let's go back to how it was. Is this guy trying to take him out? Or is it a football thing that he would have done instinctively, knowing who that person was? And I don't think Cripps looked and said, oh, this is Archie and I'll take him out. And I don't think Rioli did that to Rao. It could be anyone. And we'd all be sitting here today if this happened to our own player and thinking, Jesus, we've really made a silly law here. But anyhow, that's my views.
Appreciate your call, Bill. A couple of tests coming through. Two Josh Kennedys in the same car in the grand final motorcade. Only need one sign. Very funny. Thanks for that text as well.